It's the next gear on podtech.net. My name is Matt Kelly. I'm here at the Chicago Auto Show and joined today by Bill Scully. He is a product specialist for BMW. Tell me what your role is in that capacity.
Well, my title is BMW Product Communications Specialist. Okay. And responsible for communicating and interacting with the media in all areas related to the BMW product.
Right. A new product was unveiled at the Los Angeles Auto Show. I've been dying to talk to somebody about it, and I want to thank you for joining me here today. It is the Hydrogen 7, and the promise of that vehicle really, to me, is amazing. And I remember at the reveal, they said, this is the future. The future is now.
Well, first, thanks very much. It's great to be here, and this is our vision for the future. Because of various issues that we'll get into, it's the slightly longer term issue rather than the future rather than the immediate future, but it is our long term goal, our long term vision for sustainable mobility.
Mm-hmm. Why hydrogen? We're hearing a lot about biodiesel. We're hearing a lot about ethanol and E85, also battery packs, lithium ion battery packs. But BMW seems to feel that hydrogen is the answer. Why?
For a number of reasons. Certainly one reason is this: the sustainability, the renewability of hydrogen. It's the lightest element, the most prevalent element, and it can be created in so many ways. Everything from the classic high school electrolysis experiment to separate hydrogen and oxygen from water, and all the way to various other far more elaborate technologies for producing hydrogen, but wind power can be used, other sustainable sorts of production technology as well. So there's certainly that aspect of utilizing hydrogen as an energy carrier for motor vehicles. But BMW is about driving, the driving experience, about performance. And we also wanted to develop a way to retain as much of that as we can. Certainly when one looks at alternative transportation or drivetrain technologies, I think there's a perception that with various vehicles, various types of technologies, there may be a give up in terms of performance, passenger accommodation, passenger comfort, cargo carrying capacity, and so on. And with our technology, which uses hydrogen, and in fact liquid hydrogen, as the fuel supply for an internal combustion engine powered vehicle, we can retain virtually all of current BMW performance in a package that's ultimately sustainable mobility as well.
What are the challenges that you or any automaker is going to face in trying to bring a hydrogen-powered vehicle to market?
Well, that's a great question because it really cuts to the core of where we are and why we've developed and produced this vehicle. This vehicle, in some respects, is a statement by BMW. And the statement is, we, the auto manufacturer, can produce the vehicle. We can't produce the infrastructure. We can work with our partners, and we're working very closely with various energy suppliers on the hydrogen infrastructure, but at the core of our vision of sustainable mobility is a hydrogen infrastructure to be able to provide the fuel for the vehicles. And that's going to be true whether the vehicle is ultimately a hydrogen-fueled fuel cell electric vehicle or a fuel cell hybrid of some kind, or our vision of an internal combustion engine powered by hydrogen. There has to be an infrastructure. And of course, that's being acknowledged now. The California governor's hydrogen highway is one of the best examples of that. As you probably know, there's a Department of Energy a demonstration fleet that we're certainly participating in as well. All geared towards developing the hydrogen infrastructure. Mm-hmm. We can help encourage that. We can participate in it, but we're not an energy company. We're not a fuel company. we're a motor vehicle manufacturer. So what we're saying with the Hydrogen 7 is we can build the vehicle and we can make it a BMW. It can run on hydrogen. As it turns out, our vehicle at the moment is dual fueled for infrastructure reasons, but we can build a vehicle that will run and run quite nicely on hydrogen. There needs to be an infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Honda has come up with the Fill, the home fueling appliance for natural gas to fuel their Accord or Civic NGV, natural gas vehicle. Do you see that same type of technology applicable for the Hydrogen 7, that maybe there could be a home fueling appliance created to actually solve that infrastructure issue that we've just spoken about?
A very interesting question. I don't know that we've looked at it in that level of detail, as a potential means of making the fuel available. I'm not so well versed in the technology of being able to do something like that I could really say one way or the other whether it's feasible at the let's say the home dispensing level, as opposed to the gasoline. In the past we would have called it a gas station or a fuel station. I think we now have to start calling them energy stations.
Good.
But certainly our focus has been to work with suppliers like Shell and BP and others towards developing an infrastructure and a fueling system for the vehicle. Some of the very early fuel stations, at least the BMW stations, and I believe also the hydrogen fueling station at Munich Airport, Munich being the home of BMW, it's an automated process. Virtually every state except New Jersey, the one I come from, every state has self-serve gasoline. New Jersey actually does not.
Right.
But instead of hopping out of your car and plugging your credit card into the gas pump and fueling your own vehicle by inserting the nozzle in the
tank,
in the fuel pipe, it's an automated process. At this point, anyways. Just for proper alignment and sealing of the fuel system, and that's very much because part of our vision is to use liquid hydrogen.
Why?
Energy density. Liquid hydrogen, on a volume basis or a weight basis, simply carries more energy, which ultimately translates into driving range, and far more so than some of the systems I've seen that are carrying gaseous hydrogen, even at, let's say, 10,000 psi. Liquid hydrogen is more dense, but that brings with it the fact that liquid hydrogen is very, very cold. It's a lot colder than it was this morning in Chicago, by hundreds of degrees, of course, because it's near absolute zero. So that requires cryogenic storage on the vehicle, as well as at the dispensing point.
I would imagine at the same time, too, that there comes a safety component in the event that there is an accident and an EMS response, that is going to have to be taken into account when the emergency personnel respond.
To a degree, that's probably the case, only because of the vehicle, the fuel being carried on the vehicle in liquid form. As it turns out, if it's a severe crash and for any reason liquid hydrogen would escape, it's a safer scenario than with gasoline, because liquid hydrogen will almost instantly turn to gas and simply disperse into the atmosphere as gaseous hydrogen.
Okay, great.
So the issues that people might associate with hydrogen, even in gaseous form, don't exist.
And then, of course, in terms of an environmental issue, the byproduct is water. Is that not correct?
Essentially, yes. Yes. The tailpipe emissions when running in hydrogen mode are near zero, virtually zero, in terms of any kind of emission. The predominant product is water vapor.
Mm-hmm. What excites you about this vehicle?
The fact that we're moving to the future and dealing with issues that are important to me as a parent, and I don't think I'm too far from being a grandparent at this point in my life, and looking at my children, their children, in successive generations, this being BMW's contribution to all of us moving on the pathway towards sustainable mobility. But at the same time, I'm a car guy. I'm an enthusiast. I'm enthusiastic about cars in general and our products certainly. And as I said at the beginning, our cars are about the driving experience. Our advertising tagline is the ultimate driving machine. So we're very much about the driving experience, and a large part of what's exciting to me about what we're doing here is retaining the character of a BMW in a future vehicle that will not only be fun to drive, but cleaner.
Where is BMW in terms of its development of the vehicle and rolling it out for the masses?
This is essentially a demonstration fleet right now. This fleet will consist of 100 vehicles for the world. The U.S. will have about 25 of them coming over this year. But it's a car that's gone through the regular BMW product development process. It's not a hand-built prototype. It's not a concept vehicle. It sits on a stand at an auto show as a one-off vehicle. It's gone through the entire regular development process, all the engineering development, all the durability testing, all the crash testing. It's a car that could be given to a customer, the customer handed the key and you know, wished well on their way and told to drive it and have fun. The point of the fleet is, as I mentioned before, to demonstrate the technology, to demonstrate that the technology is achievable today, and that the next step is to really focus on the infrastructure. And what that means in terms of our demonstration fleet is that's exactly what it is. It's not a car that's for retail sale or retail lease. There's a specific list of people into which the into whose hands the cars mm-hmm. will be placed,
sure.
And they are all key people, key movers and shakers in the hydrogen field, the mm-hmm. hydrogen infrastructure mm-hmm. field, and it's a way, and that means both business, technological, and political, mm-hmm. in order to demonstrate firsthand.
Yeah.
What the capabilities are.
What is the responsibility of the consumer to make sure that this car has the infrastructure?
That's a very good question. What can this consumer do at this point other than express their interest?
Demand
to fuel companies.
Officials?
It would need to come in all those areas, elected officials, energy companies. Certainly, there are companies right now that are active in the hydrogen infrastructure field. I mentioned a couple of their names already as partners that we're working with. Certainly, contacting them to express their support and encouragement to continue the development.
Does the government need to do anything too in terms of offering incentives or tax breaks or?
I think ultimately yes, and it's not really appropriate for us as a vehicle manufacturer to get too deeply involved in those aspects of developing the infrastructure. We can certainly be a technical resource, and we have been to a great degree by simply producing the vehicle. And making it available and showing that one of the pieces of the puzzle, as it were, is the vehicle. I mean,
You've demonstrated that the technology exists,
exactly.
And that it's viable. The key piece that's missing is the infrastructure, and I just want to ask, why isn't it here yet? You've built the vehicle, it does exist, it is possible. What is keeping the government or the business entities from making that final piece of the puzzle available? And I know in a sense you can't answer it, but
Again, difficult and perhaps not appropriate for me to answer because again we're.
But it's a question that needs to be asked.
It's certainly a question that needs to be asked. We're certainly doing our part by providing the end product that a consumer will use. And I will certainly acknowledge the reality that we are very much a fossil fuel based transportation system throughout the world. And it's such a robust and developed infrastructure that it's not going to change overnight. Mm. And our vehicles are dual fueled, and as an example of what I see at least as the first phase, there is a fuel station, let's call it an energy station, in just outside of Washington D.C., operated by one of our partners, and it's a conventional gas station, mm. to which both gaseous and liquid hydrogen refueling capabilities have been added in the last couple of years, and I say that only to make the point that what I see as the transition phase, and I anticipate it'll be a very long one. Mm. I think it's going to take decades.
Mm, really?
To really transition over, that I think what we'll see essentially are stations that can provide both. Mm-hmm. Certainly there are stations in the country that can provide both gasoline and
diesel.
Yeah, and diesel. Gasoline and
E85 right now.
CNG, mm-hmm. Gasoline and E85, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we look at a country like Brazil that is almost 100% ethanol and E100. So here's a major country that has transitioned away from a fossil fuel. In a sense, to me, it's like it's showing up America, you know, snubbing or even the rest of the world, say, haha, we did it first, and we can show that it is possible. Mm-hmm. So, again, I just want to ask, why not now? Why not now? And again, I know you can't answer the question in a sense, but...
Yes, I think you're far better served by having a discussion with an energy supplier than with me. And I will just point out that in Brazil, it's very much based on their sugarcane production, which is somewhat unique to them and enables them to achieve what they've achieved, and what they've achieved is great. But ultimately, an alcohol fuel is still a hydrocarbon fuel, isn't it?
Right. Are you seeing anything outside of America that excites you in the hydrogen space? And the question, I mean, are other countries, you know, adopt maybe more readily adopting this technology, do you think? Or what are you seeing out there?
I don't know that more other countries are more readily adopting it than we are. Certainly in Germany, there's certainly a move as well to move in the same direction. Certainly supported by BMW, there's a new hydrogen fueling station. It was opened recently in Berlin. There's one at Munich Airport. But ultimately, we come back to the same, you know, chicken and egg question of infrastructure, and we have to realize that even if somehow you or I could magically snap our fingers and have a complete hydrogen infrastructure in place, we have to realize that it takes 15 or 20 years to turn over the entire in-use fleet. So that even if we could snap those fingers and today have an adequate hydrogen infrastructure in place, we would still need the fossil fuel infrastructure for at least the next two decades.
So when do you envision this car actually to be out in the masses and an infrastructure in place? Are you talking decades for this?
I think it may very well be decades. Mm-hmm. It's really going to be driven at this point by the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, today, 2007, mm-hmm. we've said we can produce the car. This is a car that's going through the regular production process. We can build them.
Yeah.
They are dual fueled. So one is never going to be in a case where they run out of fuel, mm-hmm. even as the infrastructure develops.
Yeah. Your final thoughts on the BMW, the Hydrogen 7, and where you're going to take this technology?
Oh. Our long-term goal is is oriented towards hydrogen, and hydrogen as a fuel in an internal combustion engine. People have asked us about fuel cells. Fuel cells, we believe, can have a role in smaller vehicles. We're also looking at a fuel cell as an APU, an auxiliary power unit, on vehicle to power the various electronic systems, HVAC and so on, in the vehicle, in larger vehicles. We've started with our largest vehicle, the 7 Series, as the basis for the Hydrogen 7. Again, what I come back to is that our ultimate goal, our ultimate vision, our belief is that hydrogen, as the long-term sustainable fuel, is the way to go. It's part of our clean energy vision, but our clean energy vision also for the shorter term includes clean diesel. You may know that we're involved in a joint hybrid drivetrain development program with General Motors and Daimler Chrysler. There's an office out in Troy, Michigan, populated by representatives from all three companies that are working to develop two-mode hybrid drivetrain technology. I think GM and Daimler Chrysler have already made some announcements about products in the next couple of years that will incorporate that technology. We will certainly have products as well. So those are the shorter term vision, as well as what we call efficient dynamics, which is making the current gasoline and diesel fueled internal combustion engine as efficient as possible. We're the only manager. We introduced Valvetronic, which replaces the traditional engine throttle butterfly, with a system that controls valve lift, intake valve lift, to throttle the engine. And in doing so, we picked up an immediate gain in fuel efficiency that our engineers in Germany tell us maybe as much as 10%. So that we have, our latest cars with Valvetronic have more horsepower, more torque, and better fuel economy than their predecessors. So that's the immediate goal in terms of improving efficiency. We call it efficient dynamics because not only is it efficient, but again, a BMW is about driving. So we retain the performance characteristics and comfort characteristics of a modern BMW with vehicles that are more efficient.
So you've got an immediate goal or an immediate product in a sense. You've got a short-term product with this collaboration, and then you've got your long-term goal and project as well.
Exactly. Immediate, midterm, and long-term. Our goal for the long-term and well into the future is hydrogen.
Wonderful. Bill Scully, Product Communications Specialist for BMW. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast.
It's been a pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you very much.
Keep us informed as the developments continue to roll along with the collaboration, and we'll look forward to hearing more about that. For the next year, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.